The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 2. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is the gospel lesson just read, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel today, we see Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. In response to the question about how they should pray, Jesus first responded with the universal Christian prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Then Jesus taught them about how prayer works. Jesus taught that prayer is like an urgent request made to a neighbor at night. He taught that it is like the requests that children make of their parents. Children do not bargain with their parents for whatever they request. Well, they might, but they simply ask for something, and their parents say yes or no, and maybe later. And that is how praying to your Heavenly Father works. With regard to the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther comments in his large catechism, I quote, "We should be encouraged and drawn to pray because God takes the initiative and puts into our mouths the very words we are to use. Thus, there is no nobler prayer to be found on earth than the daily Lord's Prayer, for it has the excellent testimony that God loves to hear it. This we should not trade for all the riches in the world." That's the Large Catechism, third part, section 22 to 23. So what does the Lord's Prayer mean? Now, you know, in the Small Catechism, that's part of the section on the Lord's Prayer. It tells us what it means, petition by petition. But for today's meditation, I thought, instead of looking at the Small Catechism, we will look at a once popular writing of Luther that included his explanations of the Lord's Prayer. And this was written before the catechisms. It is his Betbüchlein of 1522, also known as the Little Prayer Book. It was, at one time, one of his most popular books, and continued to be printed and used throughout German-speaking lands until the end of the 16th century. You can find it today in the 43rd volume of Luther's works. We have that in our library. Now, in each of these passages, which I have edited for length, Luther's explanation comes in the form of a prayer addressed to God. So what he does is he takes the petition and expands it so that you can kind of get a sense for all the things that are included in each petition. So let's begin with the introduction. Our Father in heaven. What does this mean? Luther explains, quote, O Almighty God, in your unmerited goodness to us, and through the merit and mediation of your only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, you have permitted and even commanded and taught us to regard you and call upon you as one Father of us all. You have done so, although instead you could rightly and properly be a severe judge over us sinners, since we have acted so often against your divine and good will and have roused your wrath. Now, through your mercy, implant in our hearts a comforting trust in your fatherly love, and let us experience the sweet and pleasant savor of a childlike certainty, that we may joyfully call you Father, knowing and loving you and calling on you in every trouble. Second phrase, hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? Luther explains, again in the form of a prayer. O Almighty God, dear Heavenly Father, in this wretched vale of tears, your holy name is sadly profaned, blasphemed, and reviled in so many different ways. Therefore, grant us your divine grace, that we might guard against all that does not serve to the honor and glory of your holy name. Help us bring to naught all heresies and false doctrines which are spread under the guise of your name. Help that no one be deceived by the many kinds of falsehood which go under the pretense of truth, piety, and holiness, even in this Christian church. The second petition, thy kingdom come. What does this mean? Luther explains, quote, this wretched life is a realm of sin and malice, whose one lord is the evil spirit, the initiator and villainous instigator of all sin and wickedness. Yours is a realm, however, of every virtue and grace, whose one lord is Jesus Christ, your dear Son, the author and beginner of every grace and truth. For this, dear Father, give us help and grace, and above all else, grant us a true and constant faith in Christ, a fearless hope in your mercy for overcoming all the stupidity of our own sinful conscience, and grant us a kindly love toward us and all mankind. The third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? Luther explains, quote, compared with your will, ours is never good, but always evil. Your will is at all times the best, to be cherished and desired above everything else. Therefore, have mercy upon us, O dear Father, and let nothing happen just because it is our own will. Grant and teach us a deeply based patience in times when our will is prevented from happening or comes to nothing, or when someone contradicts our will by what he says or does not say, does or leaves undone. Help us not to become angry or vexed, not to curse, complain, protest, condemn, disparage, or contradict when what we will is not done. Help us to yield humbly to our adversaries and those who obstruct our will, surrendering our own will. Help us to speak well of such adversaries, to bless them, and to do good to them as persons who are carrying out your best and godly purposes in contradiction to our own. Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? Luther explains, this bread is our Lord Jesus Christ, who feeds and comforts the soul. Therefore, O Heavenly Father, grant grace that the life, words, deeds, and sufferings of Christ be preached, made known, and preserved for us and all the world. Help that we may find in his words and deeds an effective example and mirror of all virtues for every phase of life. Help that we may be strengthened and comforted in suffering and adversity, in and through his suffering and cross. Help us through his death to overcome our own death with a firm faith, and thus boldly follow our beloved guide into the life beyond this one. The fifth petition. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? Luther explains, this petition has one condition. We must forgive our debtors. When we have done that, then we pray, forgive us our debts. Relieve us of every heavy burden of sin and conscience, so that in life and death, in enduring and in doing, we may trust in your mercy completely and with a light and happy heart. Lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? Luther explains, three temptations or trials confront us in this life, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Hence we pray, dear Father, grant us grace to overcome the fleshly lusts. Protect us from the great vice of avarice and covetousness with regard to the riches of the world. Protect us from the devil's whisperings so that we do not give in to pride, our own pleasure, and a contempt for others to gain wealth, high rank, power, skill, beauty, or any other blessing of yours. Deliver us from evil. What does this mean? Luther explains, this petition bids for deliverance from every evil of pain and punishment, as the Holy Church does in its litanies. Deliver us, O Father, from your eternal wrath and from the pangs of hell. Protect us from every bodily evil and woe to the end, however, that all this may rebound to the honor of your name, the increase of your kingdom, and the accomplishment of your holy will. End of the quotes from Luther's Bettbuchlein. Even so, through the Lord's Prayer, which we pray every Sunday prior to the words of institution, we pray these petitions to our Father in heaven, just as dear children make requests known to their dear parents. In Jesus, our Savior and Mediator's name, amen.